Stand by. Transmitting sound. Now launching audio stream. The Kelly Alexander Show.
Hello and welcome to the show. We are jam-packed this week as we chat with our tech expert, Mark Saltzman, about all the cool gadgets coming your way in 2011, including what may be happening with the iPad. We're also speaking with our entertainment reporter from New York City, Denise Warner, about award season and what we can expect at the upcoming Grammys and the Oscars. We've got the Love Zone with Gina Lee, a killer remix from Kesha, and an awesome surprise guest who's going to make your day. We've got lots to do. Let's go.
Capture your need for sound.
When it comes to the world of entertainment, it is always wonderful to talk to our entertainment correspondent straight from New York City, Denise Warner of PopEater.com. Thanks again for joining us on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Thanks for having me.
Denise, we had a very busy night at the Golden Globes. Now, what moments from the ceremony sort of stood out for you?
Well, first of all, it was definitely Ricky Gervais's night to be sharp and caustic. He was almost nasty in his criticism of the actors. He got several shots at Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp in their movie The Tourist, and pretty much every presenter got a little bit Gervaised, as I like to say, and some of them weren't too appreciative of the knocks that they got. So I don't know how, personally, I think he went too far, but I think a lot of people thought it was funny. Otherwise, we saw some, you know, just it was pretty typical, I think, what was going to happen. Natalie Portman took home the Best Actress in a Drama, and Annette Bening took home Best Actress in a Comedy, so we don't really know what that's going to hold for the Oscars for the two of them, since they're the front runners. And, of course, The Social Network was the big winner of the night, which I think everyone saw coming.
With regards, actually, if I can take a step back and go back to your comments about Ricky Gervais, especially with Angelina Jolie, because I wasn't able to sort of tune in right at the beginning of the award ceremony, but I tuned in sort of, I guess, like midway through. And, you know, as they always do on award shows, they, you know, take pictures of the crowd and the celebrities. And is it just me, or did Angelina Jolie look super angry most of the night?
She really did. Even when she was fixing Brad's tie or putting on her lip gloss during one of the acceptance speeches, she didn't look happy to be there. And I think it's partly because everyone was stunned that The Tourist was nominated. It didn't do that well at the box office. No one thought it was the chemistry between Jolie and Depp was any good. So it was clearly just a ploy to get the two big stars to the ceremony. And I feel like she knew that.
Okay, and speaking of Johnny Depp, you know, he was nominated twice in the same category last night, didn't win either of them. Now, how does that come off for him? I know he's pretty calm about himself now, especially because he lives outside of Hollywood. What do you think he was feeling, and what was the perception from Hollywood that he didn't win any of those?
I don't think anyone was really surprised, and I think that Johnny doesn't take it too seriously, especially since the two movies, while Alice in Wonderland was great, it's not really an award winner, and of course The Tourist being what it was. I think he was just, you know, happy to have a night out, and because he's very gracious, he likes to go to award shows. He shows up at the People's Choice Awards when they give him, you know, the Best Actor of the Decade or the Best Actor Award, so I think he's just having a good time.
And actually, speaking of that, does that surprise you that he, you know, flies over from France for, like, for example, the People's Choice Award? Because, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I think that is almost the most important award ceremony because it's actually physically nominated by fans. But, you know, do you, like, because he's such a shy person, it seems, and very much off the Hollywood radar, and doesn't seem that he needs to go to these award shows. Is it shocking to you, sort of seeing how he is as a person, that he actually shows up to award shows? Because it almost seems like it was something he would not shun in a bad way, but just be like, you know what, I don't need to go.
You know, at first I was actually shocked, but now I've gotten kind of used to it. And over the years, you hear stories about how he's very willing to sign autographs, and he does, you know, he'll show up as Jack Sparrow at a girl's school because she's a really big fan. And so it actually doesn't surprise me anymore, obviously, but I think that he gets it. You know, he was an actor for a very long time before he started getting recognized by the big awards, by the Oscars, by the Golden Globes. And so I think he really understands that it was the fans that kept him going, because it wasn't until Pirates of the Caribbean that he was, you know, big box office success and Oscar success. So I think he knows where he comes from, and he knows that the fans are very important.
I think he's awesome, and I think a lot of Hollywood stars should take a page from Johnny Depp. Now, going back to the awards, were you surprised or disappointed by any of the major categories, or did you see most of them coming?
I saw most of them coming. Personally, I would have liked to have seen either Amy Adams or Jackie Weaver of Animal Kingdom take home the Best Supporting Actress role, that an award that went to Melissa Leo. But Melissa Leo was great. I can't, you know, fault her for it. She was awesome. So, you know, it was just a personal thing. But everything else, I agreed with, and I felt was pretty dead on.
Now, fashion choices. And I only watched, you know, a certain segment of the award show last night, but I almost fell off my chair when I saw January Jones. Was it just me, or am I overreacting as to what she was wearing, that red thing that looked like some sort of really bad cheerleader outfit gone wrong?
You know, I did not like it at all. And I had several people agree with me. And then I had several people who really loved it. They said, it's fringe. She looks great. She's, you know, getting rid of that Betty Draper persona. But I have to say, you know, she's a beautiful woman. I think she could have done a lot better.
Okay. And any standout fashion, you know, faux pas or you know, big celebration as to what they wore? Because some people nailed it. I think some people didn't.
I'm really disappointed in Natalie Portman. She's a beautiful woman, and I know she's pregnant, and I know she's in that very difficult bump stage where people may not know it's a bump unless it's Natalie Portman and you know she's pregnant. But at the same time, the dress would have been beautiful had it not been for that giant rose that was just stuck on it. As an afterthought, it looked. And this award season, I thought, you know, she really has the time to shine because obviously she keeps getting nominated, keeps winning awards, but she's really nailing it in, I think. And I don't know what her stylist is doing. Maybe she should find a new one.
Yeah. And you know what? Even though a question for you, because even though I think Angelina looked angry the whole night, did you like her green? I like that. It was like an emerald green almost, right, I think?
I actually love that green. And I love the shoulder pads. And I'm not usually a big shoulder pad person. But I saw several of those on the carpet that night. But Angelina actually looked really beautiful.
And there was no, I don't think, major standouts with regards to men's fashion, although Blair Underwood seemed to have an interesting tux on.
Yeah, no, I don't know what he was thinking, but as far as the night goes, even when Robert Downey Jr. doesn't wear anything weird, you know, you have problems with the men's fashion, I think.
it was fairly tame for the men. The only one that I think even stood out a little bit, and maybe, you know, you have your own thoughts on this, was, again, Ryan Murphy. And I think you and I talked about him at a previous award show where he seems to just jazz it up a little bit. And I think last night he was wearing, like, silver pants or, like, a gray.
Yeah. I think Ryan Murphy just likes to stand out and likes to say, hey, I'm Ryan Murphy and I created Glee and I'm going to wear silver pants because I can.
Exactly. Joining us on the line from New York City is PopEater.com editor and Kelly Alexander Show entertainment correspondent Denise Warner. Now, Denise, you touched on it briefly. Normally, the Golden Globes, a good barometer as to what's coming up with the Academy Awards. Do you think that holds true for this year as well?
I really think so. I don't think we're going to see too many different people accepting awards. Like I said before, the only thing is who's going to win the Best Actress Oscar, Annette Bening or Natalie Portman. And since they were nominated in different categories last night and they each won their own, we don't know.
Okay. And for Best Actor, do you think Colin Firth is going to get it again because he won it, you know, at the Golden Globes? Or do you think Jesse Eisenberg has a chance, or anyone else in that category for the Academy Awards?
I mean, Jesse Eisenberg and James Franco have a chance to kind of overtake Colin Firth, but right now I'd bet money that Firth takes home the Oscar.
Okay. And now just a quick mention as well, the Grammys are coming up because we are sort of into full-on award show season. We know that Eminem has 10 nominations. Do you think he's actually going to walk away with all 10 or at least a good handful?
I think he'll walk away with a few, but I've noticed over the past couple of years with the Grammys that the big one, that everyone with the big number of nominations don't necessarily walk away with a big number of awards. So obviously he's going to win a few, but we'll see who's the big winner of the night.
Do you think there's a surprise with regards to who's going to be the big winner of the night? Because is it Gaga? I think she's got 6. Do you think she's going to be the – because I don't even want – she's not the underdog anymore as much as she, I think, wants to have that persona, but she's not.
No, not at all. And, you know, February 13th, the day of the Grammys, is also a big day for Gaga. She's releasing her first single from Born This Way, titled Born This Way. So we could see a lot of swell support for her on that day. But, you know, you can't overlook Lady Antebellum. They're country music, but sometimes the Grammys like to honor the country music stars. So we'll see.
And who do you think is going to be the standout performer? Or do you think there's going to be a surprise with that? Because I know, you know, there's some heavy hitters up there. Eminem's going to be performing, Gaga. I think CeeLo Green might have a surprise for us. Arcade Fire from Montreal, obviously up here, we're very happy about them being on the show. Do you see anything as a surprise with regards to performances?
I'd love it if CeeLo Green, I know people are getting sick of it, but I'd love if CeeLo Green and Gwyneth did a duet. Gwyneth Paltrow, so maybe that'll happen. But obviously I'm a huge Arcade Fire fan as well, so I can't wait to see them perform. But I think Lady Gaga obviously is going to bring it, and who knows what she will wear on stage, so that'll be interesting to look forward to.
Okay. And Denise, you know, you are in the epicenter of all things entertainment in New York, and from your viewpoint, from the entertainment community's viewpoint, I've always wanted to know, what do you guys feel is the award show to be at? Is it still the Academy Awards, or is it too conservative for, you know, this generation to sort of think that that's the main one that everyone should be getting, sort of excited about?
You know, I think it still is the Academy Awards. And this year, they're obviously looking to skew younger when they picked Anne Hathaway and James Franco to host the ceremony. So I think they're really trying to go out and grab the younger audience. And it's, you know, as they say, it's a Super Bowl for women, which is a little bad because I like watching football and I like watching the Super Bowl, but I love the Oscars. So, you know, if people want to be there, that's what I think.
Okay. And Denise, before I let you go, and I know I'm putting you on the spot, is there anything big that we should be looking for in the next couple of weeks with regard to entertainment stories coming our way?
I just think, like I said, Lady Gaga's single coming out, it's going to be big, either if it's good or bad. Hopefully it's good because it's her. You know, Britney's working on an album, so that's another big story. And I think just look to see what happens with Sandra Bullock and her rumored beau, Ryan Reynolds, because, you know, that's kind of the big story right now, and we'll see if anything between them heats up.
And I just have to ask you this, it just came to me as you were talking about Sandra Bullock. What did you think of her hair choice last night? It frightened me a little. Did it frighten you?
It frightened me. I really hope it's for a role, because I don't like that thick bang look.
Yeah, okay.
She's got a pretty face. Why hide it like that?
Yeah, because I was very shocked when I saw that. Like, and not, I don't even mean her dress, I just mean the hair choice, the way it was put, even the darker color, it seemed darker. And I wasn't sure what was going on, because like you said, she has a gorgeous face. I think every woman still wants to be her. And I was a little bit, you know, questioning what was going on, even though I think everybody really enjoyed her dress. Denise, thank you so much for joining us. I always appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's been fun.
That's Denise Warner from PopEater.com and our very own entertainment correspondent from New York City. Make sure to check her out at PopEater.com, as well as her Twitter handle, DeniseMarie13.
Hey, over there. Please forgive me if I'm coming on too strong. Hate to stare, but you're winning, and I play my favorite song. So come here a little closer. Wanna whisper in your ear, make it clear. Little question, wanna know just how you feel. If I said my heart was beating loud, escape the crowd somehow. If I said I want your body now, would you hold it against me? 'Cause you
To introduce you to an amazing talent who has millions of fans across the world. She started singing as a young girl in her home province of Quebec, and now her voice literally moves people to tears. Celine Dion, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Kelly, I'm so happiness for you that you have had me there on your show.
Well,
it's
I am
a miracle for you.
It is a miracle for me, and I have to tell you, you know, it is an honor to have you on the show, and I have to ask you, how are things going with your new baby twins? Because I heard that after you had the babies, Eddie and Nelson, that you had moments of lifelessness.
Well, listen, they are the second and third comings. That is what I have nicknamed them, because when other people have baby, they simply have a baby, but when I do it, it is more special. And so for me, it is a miracle to have those two new babies, and yes, it was like lifelessness, but it's not something that maybe somebody common like you can understand. I'm so sorry. That's the best way I can explain it to your little brain.
Okay. Well, it's tough for me to understand this, but I also read that, you know, you've been breastfeeding and sort of changing, you know, their diapers. Do you like being hands-on, or do you wish that you had maybe, you know, more help from your nannies?
Well, listen, I have 27 nannies, but there are moments during the day when I decide to take over myself. And breastfeeding for me is very tough because I am a size negative A, which means that I am concave. And so that took a little work itself. But then I found a way to change diapers using tongs. And that's very specialness, a beautiful bonding moment for me and my baby.
I understand. And I have to ask you, are, you know, your husband, Renee, and your son, Rene Charles, are they jealous of your new baby boys? Because it's like, I'm thinking you don't have as much time for them.
Not at all. I have simply told Rene Charles, Rene Jr., that these babies are just pretend baby. He does not know that actually two little humans have been born. I did not want to disrupt his world. And so I've told him, oh, those silly pretend baby dolls again are crying. Oh, dear. Because I don't want to upset him. But Rene, his father, my husband, he is in wonderment. You know, he thought that I was already, you know, this beautiful goddess. And now that I have three sons, it's something I can only express in song. I would like to do that now.
Okay.
I am a miracle. There, Kelly. Do you understand it better now?
I do. And... You know, I have to ask you, Celine, speaking of your family, your wonderful family, are they going to be accepting of you if you go back to work? Because I'm just wondering, it must be tough for you not to be on stage.
Oh, you know, I have been performing for them and they always say, please, Celine, please, Mama, please, there is too much pain in the world already. Give your voice a rest. And so, you know, I am not able to perform at home as much as I would like. So, yes, I would like to get back on the road. And of course, whatever makes money makes my husband very happiness, so he can go gambling again.
Okay, that works out well. And you know, I know that you, I think, try to keep your life fairly separate from what goes on with, you know, with Hollywood and the entertainment community. But, you know, Celine, there's been so many reports right now of Hollywood marriages falling apart, like Sandra Bullock and Jesse James, and most recently Ryan Reynolds and Scarlett Johansson. And you know, you with Renee have been together, it seems, almost as long as the lifespan of an elephant. What is your secret for such a long-standing relationship?
The secret is that René does not get hit on very often. I think that is the best key to a relationship where there is no cheating.
To have an old man?
Yes, to have a very, very old man. And, you know, I was worried about that when Anna Nicole Smith was still alive. Maybe she would try to steal him, but no, I do not need to worry about that now. And no one else has come knocking down René's door. So I am very lucky, Ness.
Do you worry, though, like, for example, because you mentioned Anna Nicole Smith, but now we just heard in the news that Hugh Hefner, who is 84, is marrying his 24-year-old, I guess now fiancé. Do you worry about, you know, Playboy bunnies such as someone like her who might come after René?
No, you know, because she has found this wonderful man. For a young woman to find a very old man like that, it's a beautiful thing. I think they are going to have a very long, very happy marriage. I am a little jealous, you know, because René is not even 84 yet. And so for me, the older, the better. I'm very happiness for them.
Very good. Now, your good friend Oprah Winfrey, who I know you love so much, has recently launched her own network. And given your fellow Canadian singer Shania Twain a show, I have to ask you, are you jealous, you know, of Shania and that Oprah has given her her own program? Do you wish Oprah had done the same for you?
I wish that Oprah had offered me a show, but then I thought about it, and, you know, Shania is mentoring young singers to be like herself, and for me, I realized no one will ever be even close to as beautifulness as my voice, and so it seemed a little redundant, you know, for me to do a show like that when the truth is it's impossible to find that kind of talent, so I understand the conundrum.
Okay. Now, Celine, before I let you go, you know, we're at the beginning of a brand spanking new year. Do you have any words of wisdom to sort of pass on to your fans and the world for 2011?
Yes, for 2011, I must say to everyone, I wish you happy new year. This year may you be just as wonderful as Celine, but not half as skinny.
It's a bit of dieting advice, really. You can strive, but you will never be like me and Sarah Jessica Parker. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time, Celine. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today, and I hope you'll come back again soon.
I bless you.
Fantastic. That is Celine Dion right here on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
As we march full on into 2011, the world of technology is continuing to launch new gadgets that make us drool and basically trample all over each other to get our hands on them. To tell us what we can expect to see this year is our good friend, syndicated technology columnist, Mark Saltzman. Mark, welcome back to The Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mark, you were recently at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. I know you saw a lot of cool tech toys. And I guess to start off, what did you see with regards to tablets that are out there?
It's more of a question of what haven't I seen. Without question, tablets were the biggest tech product category at the 2011 Consumer Electronics Show. An estimated 50 new models were on display from, you know, either the big players, from the likes of Panasonic and Samsung and LG and whatnot, all the way down to new entrants that are trying to, you know, make their way into this highly competitive space, but one that is very promising, largely in part due to the success of the Apple iPad. So some of the tablets were, they each had their own hook, if you will. Some were relatively inexpensive, as low as $99. So that is going to be very appealing to those who find the Apple iPad price a little too high out of their reach, you know, $550 to start. There are ones that have slide-out keyboards, so it's giving you both a touchscreen interface and the option for a physical QWERTY keyboard, and others that dock into a laptop-style clamshell computer, and there's a 3D laptop, 3D tablet that I saw that doesn't require glasses. So really, there's a lot of innovation happening in this space and support by a lot of different operating systems, primarily Google's mobile Android operating system, which is free to use. It's an open source mobile OS. But we also saw some Windows tablets as well.
And which ones did you sort of like the most?
I liked a couple. The Motorola Zoom, that's XOOM, was running on the Honeycomb operating system from Google through Android. And that had a lot of power and really a nice sort of tweak on the interface. Plus, there's a Panasonic Viera tablet actually there's three of them, 4, 7, and 10 inches, that wirelessly communicate with a compatible Viera TV. So you can be watching one thing, such as a movie, on your big screen Viera, and then on your lap you've got a tablet showing the hockey game. And then when you want to swap videos, you just flick up on the Viera tablet on your lap, and that video will now display immediately on your big screen.
Wow.
So pretty wild stuff happening.
That's crazy. And with regards to these tablets, and you know, they're making a run at the iPad, does the iPad have anything to worry about?
I don't think so. I don't think anyone's going to touch Apple when it comes to market share. And let's not forget that not only is Apple enjoying incredible success with their first generation iPad, but the iPad 2 is probably only a couple of months away. So I don't think anyone is going to rival the iPad. Even RIM, the makers of the upcoming BlackBerry Playbook, which was also on display at CES, I don't think they're going to sell more units than the iPad. But there's certainly room for a lot of big players. This is predicted to be a huge category. And I'm of the mindset, I believe that, you know, one day and one day soon, we're all going to have a few tablets lying around our home, maybe one on our night table, one on our coffee table, one on the kitchen counter, one in the home office, and you're just going to pick it up, check your email, put it down. You know, you'll have one on your lap while you're watching a movie. You'll surf the web with your finger. And I really think that they're going to be inexpensive and all over the home, our car and our office.
And Mark, what's the buzz going on with these smart TVs that we've been hearing about? Is TV technology just going like crazy now?
Yeah, so definitely another big trend at this year's Consumer Electronics Show was this continued convergence, the continued evolution between the TV and the internet. So almost every new big TV on display from all the big players, you know, Sharp, Samsung, LG, Panasonic, Toshiba, Sony, and so on, all showed internet-connected TV services. So that ranges from smartphone-like apps that you can download and customize on your desktop, on your TV screen, to streaming video services a la Netflix and other streaming movie, TV show, and radio services. There's more communication services like Skype supported. Last year we saw Panasonic, the first to support free video calling over Skype, and then later in the year Samsung had Skype in their TVs. At CES we saw Sharp, Toshiba, and a few others, Sony, that had Skype calling as well. So definitely that's another trend. We've seen more, you know, on-demand news and weather and other sort of widgets or apps that you can populate on your TV screen. Sometimes, you know, Facebook or Twitter integration while you're watching TV, you can check your tweets and your Facebook profile updates and other RSS feeds and things like that. So it's really becoming one and the same. Our that 50-inch plasma or LCD or LED TV mounted to your wall is essentially a window to cyberspace now. And that's a trend that it was very evident as you walk around the show at CES.
And are those TVs out yet, Mark, or are they coming?
Yeah, a number of TVs now have online services. I've got a Samsung TV right now on loan that has, you know, Netflix, and it's got YouTube and a few other services, Skype, the ability to make video calls online. So that's already integrated in the TV that I've got here. And we did see a few of those debuting in 2010, but I think that it's just going to continue to grow. It's going to be a combination of online services from the cloud, and that's where maybe you'll be storing all of your music and photos and videos, you know, your camcorder footage and even your work, and accessing it on virtually any screen in your life, be it a smartphone, a tablet, a PC, or a TV. Or it'll be a way to communicate to your computer in another room. You can already do that with some TVs and certainly some game systems and other media boxes that are bringing all of these technologies together.
Mark, with regards to the fact that you have one of these things on loan right now, do you find it fairly user-friendly? Like, will, a 65-year-old grandma be able to sort of deal with it?
Yeah, I think so. For the most part, searching without a physical keyboard can be a little bit cumbersome. So, for example, if you want to type a keyword in Netflix to see if there's a movie that you love available on the service, you have to, you know, move your TV remote throughout the alphabet and press on the letters. Not a lot of people want to do that. So we'll see more things like voice-activated interfaces, hand gesture interfaces, and both of those, by the way, are you know, are only going to be refined with products like Kinect for Xbox 360, where you can use your voice, your face, your hands in the air to navigate through your content. So we'll see that. We'll also see more wireless keyboards, you know, on our coffee tables, and you know, wireless mice and things like that, just to make the interface a lot easier. But and certainly with websites like YouTube, through your TV, you can bookmark your favorites. So if your kids are a fan of Annoying Orange, for example, then you can bookmark all those videos and easily access them the next time you log online.
Joining us on the show this week is syndicated technology columnist Mark Saltzman from Toronto. Mark, what's going on in the way of laptops for 2011?
So all kinds of shapes and sizes, some interesting prototypes as well. I mentioned earlier about a tablet that docked into a laptop, and then you can pull off the tablet when you just want to use your fingertip and move around. So the Lenovo U1 and the LePad, as it's called, was an example of that. The U1 Hybrid with the LePad is basically a lightweight laptop that is a Windows-based PC, and then when you simply want a tablet to go, you just pull off the screen, and it's independently run Android-based battery-powered tablet. And if you want, you can connect another monitor to the to the actual bottom of that laptop. So it's almost like two computers, if you will. So that was interesting. We saw some prototypes at the Intel booth that were also pretty cool. One of them was from Razer, and it was essentially it looked like a small little netbook, but the bottom keyboard was actually had little lights, little screens, but behind each key. So what that allows you to do is change languages on the fly. So you can go from English to French, and you'll see a different letter or accent on the key projected from below. So it's got a little LCD screen there. Or if you're playing a game such as World of Warcraft, you can transform that QWERTY keyboard into game-only icons. So they're only relevant to the game. So they're specific to the app that you're using. If you're playing music, for example, the bottom keyboard might turn into media controls, like the pause, fast-forward, rewind, skip-forward, things like that. On a related note, Acer had a pretty amazing laptop that won some awards at CES called the Iconia. The Iconia is a 15-inch laptop with two touch screens. So the bottom part of the laptop where you'd rest your palms does not contain a physical keyboard. It is a touch screen, much like the 15-inch touch screen that is in front of you. So it's on a hinge. It's a clamshell laptop that you can hold like a newspaper or a book or a magazine, rather, and flick through digital color pages of a magazine, or you can type on it like a real traditional laptop, but instead of a physical keyboard, it's a touchscreen one. And it also lets you change languages very easily because, you know, it's showing you on the screen what it is. And so you can easily change that with apps or have dedicated game apps as well. And that's called the Acer Iconia. Very cool technology.
Wow. And I wanted to ask you too, is anything happening sort of on the ebook reader front? Because I remember that just around this time last year, or maybe it was December of 2009, everyone was going, you know, ape crazy for the Kindle.
Yeah. So a lot of ebook readers, there were ebook readers at the Consumer Electronics Show, but I think there was more excitement in the tablet space. And, you know, one of the main apps for a tablet is, and I mean apps as in applications, is to use it like an ebook reader. So we saw a lot more traction in tablets that double as an ebook reader, or that's what you would use it for in many cases, rather than a dedicated ebook reader that only did that. You know, when you're starting to see sub $100 Android powered tablets that can also be an ebook reader, it kind of takes the steam out of the sales of a dedicated ebook reader that's the same price or more. So I think that, yes, definitely you're right, Kelly. Last year, the 2010 Consumer Electronics Show, the two big themes were 3D TV and ebook readers. But this year, it's tablets and internet-connected televisions.
And Mark, I don't know if this is a silly question or not, but like, let's say you know, you as a you know, regular person in your life has X amount of hard copy books, and you want them, you know, to be on your ebook or like on a tablet where you can read. Is there any way, for lack of a better word, of transferring these hard copies, you know, to a reader or a tablet?
Yeah, absolutely. That was in fact one of my favorite gadgets at the Consumer Electronics Show. It's called the Ion Book Saver. And Ion is best known for their turntables and cassette decks that you would plug into your computer and digitize your old, you know, analog records and tapes into a digital media, into digital files that you can then, you know, burn a CD or copy over to your iPod or what have you. So the same company is coming out in March or April with this BookSaver product. It kind of is a scanner of sorts where you put a book or a magazine in it, press a button, and two cameras simultaneously take a picture of each page on the book or magazine, and then you flip the page and do it again. So you're digitizing the book or magazine. The company says you can do about 200 pages in under 15 minutes.
Wow.
So it's a great way for those who have already invested in a, you know, numerous soft or hardcover books or magazines. There's no reason to buy it all over again digitally. So the idea is that you can take an analog, like a physical paper book, digitize it within, you know, a relatively short amount of time, and then you import that ebook, and that's both in PDF or JPEG format, into your ebook reader. Let's see what the quality is like. That was something I wasn't able to really get an idea of at CES, but it's a great idea, and their previous products were hits, so I'm optimistic about this.
That's awesome. It sounds super cool. And Mark, a question I wanted to ask you, because you touched upon it briefly at the beginning. You mentioned that, you know, Apple is probably coming out with their second version of the iPad. Do you have any idea when or I don't want to say if, because I'm sure they're going to have the second version, but do you think it's going to be a lot different than what we've seen already from the first version of the iPad?
You know, Apple notoriously holds their cards close to their chest. So it's anybody's guess what the next generation iPad will have. I think it's safe to guess that it will be lighter and faster, not the sexiest of new features, but I think that based on feedback on the first generation iPad that's coming, I think two cameras can also be found in the next iPad, one to take pictures or shoot HD video, another for video conferencing through both their FaceTime and apps like Skype. You'll probably also see different sizes, so not just a 10-inch iPad, the current size, 9.7 inches, but there is some industry speculation that there may be up to three or four different iPad sizes to choose from, all running the same operating system and, you know, the ability to connect to the App Store wirelessly or sync with your PC and your iTunes media, your PC or Mac, that is. So it's really anybody's guess. We should know fairly soon what Apple has up its sleeve. But those are some of the features that a lot of people are expecting. Those who are waiting for expandable memory, like a SD card slot, I think they'll be disappointed. Apple has been pretty clear that they don't believe in that, in the ability to expand the memory for different reasons. Performance is one of them. And secondly, I don't think they're going to add Adobe Flash support to their Safari browser, which is something else a lot of people want. But Apple's Steve Jobs made it pretty clear he's not a fan of the plugin.
Okay, so he's continuing with the way he was last year, is pretty much.
I think so, yeah. But, Okay. You know, the Apple iPad is not a perfect product, but it's pretty darn close. You know, I can honestly say that in the 15 years that I've been reviewing electronics, I can't recall the last time I was as excited about a product, and one that I use as often as I do with my iPad.
Wow.
It doesn't leave my side.
Wow, that's amazing. And Mark, a final question for you, because again, you were able to hang out at, you know, the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. What, I don't know if you have, there's probably several gadgets that you would recommend, but, you know, I don't know if you have one or the top three that you would suggest for, you know, gadget heads out there for 2011 that they should pick up or be on the lookout for.
So definitely if a gadget head, as you would call it, hasn't invested in a tablet yet, I'm a fan not just of the iPad, but of the form factor. I love using my fingertip to surf the web and download apps and play games and listen to my music and do work and all the fun things that you can do on tablets that you can also serve as an ebook reader. So definitely pick up one of the many tablets that will debut. The Motorola Atrix is a pretty funky smartphone. Not only is it billed as the world's most powerful smartphone, it's the first one with a dual core processor, which is like having two engines under the hood of your car, but it snaps into a faux laptop. So you can carry around this like 2-pound device that looks like a laptop. And then when you snap your smartphone in the back, you are now able to use your smartphone with a full size QWERTY keyboard and, you know, 11.6 inch screen and a mouse. So that was a pretty cool product coming through Bell Mobility this spring. And then finally, I would probably have to say maybe the Acer Iconia laptop. I wouldn't say it's a must have. It's definitely a niche market, but having a dual touch screen laptop, if you don't mind typing on a screen. A lot of people want a physical keyboard. There's a lot of cool things that the Iconia can do that you can check out online. Just go to YouTube and type in Iconia, I-C-O-N-I-A, and you'll check out some of the really wild things on the horizon from this company.
That's awesome. Mark, thanks so much for being with us again. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
That's Mark Saltzman, a syndicated technology columnist from Toronto. Check him out, www.sync-blog.com.
Stand by.
The Love Zone
with Gina Lee
on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Welcome to The Love Zone. I'm Gina Lee, and today we're talking about chemistry. When it comes to dating, one of the top qualities we look for is chemistry. And what exactly is chemistry? It's that electric charge you get when you're in their presence, that irresistible pull when you hear their voice, see their face, even when you smell them. And that's really the chemical part of chemistry. There are real physiological factors at play, which we have no control over. Scientists have proven that our bodies release very potent chemical signals called pheromones, and while you won't be able to smell them, they can have a very profound effect on you. You ever felt physically drawn to someone for some inexplicable reason? That's chemistry. And for many, it's an essential component of true love. It's important to not confuse chemistry with compatibility. Just because you both have a lot in common doesn't mean you'll have chemistry together. It certainly increases the chances, but it's not a guarantee. The fact that you both like the same music, working out, and watching kung fu movies won't automatically translate into a match made in heaven, but it could make for a good friendship. And that's the line that chemistry draws in the sand between the love zone and the dreaded friend zone. We've all been there, not able to make a relationship out of a friendship because you're just not that into them. The chemicals needed to create that spark is simply not there. So how can you tell whether you have chemistry with someone? It usually happens within the first 10 seconds. But if you don't feel it in that moment, it's still possible for it to develop as time goes on. As you get to know and become more comfortable with each other, you'll start to sense more than you did before. Common physical signs that chemistry is taking hold is when in their presence you feel weak in the knees and have a rush of excitement that can cause your heart to race and your palms to sweat. You might find yourself wanting to be as close to them as possible, perhaps to get a deeper whiff of those intoxicating pheromones. Now, just as compatibility is not enough to create chemistry, the reverse is true. Just because you're feeling chemistry with someone doesn't mean you'll be good together as a couple. Sometimes all you have is chemistry, but everything else in your lives doesn't gel, and that could spell trouble down the line. It's a particular kind of hell having amazing chemistry with someone you're not compatible with. You're like a moth to a flame, knowing you're doomed, but unable to resist the heat. These are the encounters that inspire countless love songs and romantic movies. These are the relationships that you sometimes regret, but never forget. So it seems that the best bet is to find someone who you're compatible and have chemistry with. Easier said than done, isn't it? You may have to make a compromise as to how much of each you're willing to have in a relationship. While chemistry is the more alluring quality, being swept off your feet and onto cloud nine, compatibility is what you need to make a relationship last. Or maybe it's the other way around. No matter how compatible you are, if you don't feel that electric charge when you're with them, then you're not much more than intimate friends, aren't you? Maybe it varies day by day. Sometimes it's compatibility that gets you through the hard times and chemistry that makes it worth going through. I guess all we can do is follow our heart and our pheromones.
Bring on the
Remix.
With We Are Who We Are, the Fred Focky remix on The Kelly Alexander Show. We also featured Britney Spears' latest hit track, Hold It Against Me, as well as Crazy Love from CeCe Peniston from 1992. Well, you know what? That pretty much does it for us this week. Thanks again to our amazing guests, Denise Warner of PopEater.com, Mark Saltzman, Gina Lee of The Love Zone, and of course, the amazing and talented Miss Celine Dion, who, as you can tell, loves being on The Kelly Alexander Show. By the way, please join us next week. We have a really cool guest. His name is Nicholas Gaten. He's an author who's written a very inspirational book called Ask Me If I'm Happy. You can check him out if you want a little preview at happyboxedition.com. All right, any comments or questions, please drop me a line, kelly@kellyalexandershow.com. Have a wonderful week. You and I'll chat soon.
The Kelly Alexander Show is hosted by Kelly Alexander. Produced by Esteban Vargas, Barbara Purcell, Chris Paré, and Kelly Alexander. Original themes and production music composed by Ian Campbell. Thanks for listening.